Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Well, Travis, the Bloodline continues to be so compelling. I think it's picked up after a little bit of a down period after WrestleMania, which is, you know, understandable. WrestleMania is supposed to be peak season. There's supposed to be a little drop-off afterwards. You want it to be minimal, but it's understandable. But things seem to be picking up again. A lot of stuff on this pre-taped edition of SmackDown, Bloodline-related. Roman Reigns holding up not only his singles titles, but the tag belts to end the show after Jimmy did not want to hand them over, after Jimmy had picked them up, after Solo had helped clear the ring of KO and Sammy. A lot of moving parts. Certainly that seemed to portend a match with Roman and Solo, perhaps defending the tag titles against the Usos someday. They could accomplish that match without tag belts on the line or get to that point through different means other than necessarily a title change tomorrow. What stood out to you, and where do you think we're headed?
What stood out about the Bloodline in particular, or this show?
Stay focused on one topic at the top.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought the night, how everything was paced with the Bloodline stuff, was done really well. It was, and it ended so fantastically. I was in here yelling at my TV for Jimmy to drop the titles at Roman's feet. It was, as you said, compelling. And it was like, oh, wow, the juice is back in this kind of conflict, this feud. And tonight was great. This was one of the best pre-taped episodes of like a regular weekly TV that I remember. And that's a little much saying it right after you watch something that you like or dislike, saying it's whatever, best ever, worst ever. But pre-tape shows can be dull shows. And it was very pre-tape heavy. It was very, or not pre-tape, it was very video package heavy. And I was into everything, even the video packages that they had. They were good. Tonight was good. The Bloodline was fantastic. I'm considering actually watching the Saudi show tomorrow, which I don't. I don't watch the Saudi shows. It's just a thing.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. but I want to see that match tomorrow.
Yeah. So what do you think happens? Honestly, like after tonight, did it change your opinion? Did it firm up an opinion? Do the Usos, because they said earlier the Usos are not going to be in Saudi Arabia, but they're invited to the celebration next week. That does not mean they won't be in Saudi Arabia,
right.
And that they won't interfere in the match, perhaps costing Reigns and Solo the match, which can set up a non-title grudge match between the two teams. But Solo and Reigns may just win because the Usos interfere and it helped Reigns and Solo, either intentionally or unintentionally. And so so many things can happen. There's multiple directions this can go. So what do you think coming into the show, and did it change after tonight's episode?
I assumed Jimmy and Jay would accidentally cost Solo, and I didn't think Roman and Solo were going to win by any stretch. That's just a bit much. Let's say. And now I'm thinking the story might be to have them actually win those titles, but it still would bother me that Roman has everything so focused on Roman Reigns, which is fine, but just so visually. And so, that would just be just much. I think now I don't know, and that's probably a good thing. I just assumed what was going to happen, and now I'm like, oh boy, this really throws a wrench in the situation. That's why I kind of want to watch that match tomorrow, and I'm sure a lot of other people do too. I don't know Wade. I still think they retain Sammy and KO retain, but they have set up and have been setting up. This wasn't some new thing. This new development is just kind of really intense tonight with Jimmy and Roman. And I like that they switched it. And Jimmy's the one that's fed up now after being for years and years. You know, all he was is Yeet, you know, and you know, my dog. And, you know, high fives and overly complicated handshakes. But now, yeah, he's got the serious thing. And I was rooting for him so heavily. I wanted him to drop those titles at Roman's feet. Like, but that would have been an absolute declaration. What he did by not throwing up the one and backing off into the corner. And Jay, he's like, come on, man, what are you doing? It's just... this whole family dynamic, you like really feel that it's good. It's really good, Wade. And the fact that I'm not like, oh, they're going this way. This is going to probably happen. And I'm just not confident in any one direction that they could go. And that's such a good thing.
As usual, too, when I think about great performances in this group, I can't pinpoint someone who is clearly at the bottom or who stands so alone at the top. But I think Paul Heyman gets extra consideration this week. He had a little bit more than usual to do. And the reaction he had when Jimmy said in the tag team realm, I'm the tribal chief, Heyman just stood on the ring apron and was like, what?
I think even Malice. Why would you say that?
Why would you say that? And he looked like he had just watched his entire family on a bus fly off a cliff and burst into flames. Like it's just the worst thing could have happened. Because, like, obviously Heyman is manipulative and a scumbag or, you know, whatever he's trying to be. But there's a certain – he wants to keep control. And he wants there to be a certain order. And there's supposed to be a certain level of compliance and subservience to Roman. And it says so many things, but mostly it says, you know, man, are you in trouble after saying something so unnecessary? Do you not know who you're dealing with? The expression he had, even when the Usos just walked past him on the entrance ramp, what was great. But that standing on the ring apron and just, I don't even know what word to describe the emotions he had on his face, but it amplified what the audience knew was a big deal, which is nobody declares themselves a tribal chief of anything and expects Reigns to stand there and take it. And then the way Reigns walked out, I mean, I can sit here and praise everybody's performance, KO, Sammy, Jimmy, Jay, Roman.
Solo coming in and cleaning house.
I know, that's a thing. I mean, even when people have smaller roles, they're so good. The way Jay looked at Jimmy when he tried to take the tag belts, you know, like as the guy just kind of pushing Jimmy aside, trying to de-escalate the situation, have some words. He reaches to pull the belt, and Jimmy holds on tight. It's subtle, but the way that Jay just, like, looks at him like, come on, man.
And again, that's the part of the, like, what makes it such an like, this whole family thing. It's, you know, to have four guys in there that are just all, and Roman brought it up again tonight. Like, what's going to be different? You know, back in the day, you know, I whooped you then, and I whoop you now. Like, come on. Like get with the program. And it's just so older sibling. I was 13 years older than my younger brother, so I didn't really, you know, I dominated him just by being, you know, a second father figure.
A bully? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. That's what I'm saying. I never had that kind of, you know, never had somebody 2 or 4 or 6 years younger than me that I could just, you know, that didn't like personal, you know, whatever. I didn't have that. So, but I see it and I can feel it. And I, obviously they all look so similar and you can tell they're, you know, a family. It's just, it's, you know, as the bold in the bloodline, it's just so good.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. All right. We will gush about this some more and speculate some more. We want to hear from you guys too, who are listening live to our live stream here on Friday night. Let's pause and introduce ourselves formally and then get to phone calls and emails. And we got a world title match coming up tomorrow. We can reevaluate the Bianca Belair segment and some of the lesser importance, like LA Knight getting into it with the Street Profits and more. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, May 26, 2023, and we are live even when SmackDown isn't. I'm Wade Keller, the host of the program, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter, documenting pro wrestling history since pretty much before the internet, and also the founder and editor of our website, pwtorch.com, which was launched in 1999, with news, live TV reports, editorials, flashback articles, and more. I hope you're all checking that out regularly. And also host a variety of podcasts throughout the week with different hosts and different themes, including The Fix with Todd Martin. We did about over 4.5 hours last night. How long was the mailbag? I don't know. We split it into 4 parts. It was so long. 2 parts on current events, and then a 2-part mailbag. Todd and I drafted the AEW roster in a mock draft. If they split the roster, you decide for yourself who was the winner. Todd, of course, declared himself the winner immediately. Actually, I think he declared himself the winner even before we started. But you can decide for yourself who assembled a better roster, and some other really good questions from our listeners, and also an in-depth review of Ken Patera's new book, and that followed last week's review, in-depth review of the, from what everybody says, the excellent Steve Kern book. So in-depth book reviews, current events analysis, and a great mailbag. Just one of many perks that comes with a VIP membership. So go VIP, pwtorch.com/govip. You can subscribe through Patreon directly using your Apple account on your iPhone or via credit card or PayPal on our main VIP website. Full details at pwtorch.com/govip. We'd love to have you this weekend. We'll be doing 2 VIP exclusive post-event roundtables, or I'll be hosting those after Night of Champions and also after Double or Nothing. And then we'll have coverage 2 of the NXT special on Sunday night with Kelly Walls and company. Go VIP to hear all of that. The other voice you've heard so far on the show is Travis Bryant from the PW Torch East Coast cast. Travis, welcome to the Coast Chair. Good talking SmackDown with you again.
Absolutely. And I picked the right ones.
Yes.
I'm on a roll the last year, co-hosting on, on here. Hey, glad to be back. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, no, this is a fun show to talk about, and good to have you on to talk about this show in particular. We want to hear from our listeners, too. So if you haven't called yet, you can. 347-215-8558 if you're live streaming our show. Don't call if you're listening to this on Saturday. We're not live. We won't take your call. But you can call us right now if you're live streaming the show. 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. That flags you on the switchboard. That lets us know you want to be on the show. You can also just call and listen in if you want. Don't push 1 if that's the case. And you can also find, as always, if you want to join us live or just listen live, the live stream link is in my TV reports at pwtorch.com. So go to pwtorch.com and click on the link in my Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown reports every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night. You can also check out Twitter or our Facebook pages for a link. I usually post those around the time the show ends, give or take 10 minutes, sometimes a little bit earlier, at pwtorch on Twitter and facebook.com/pwtorch. And then another way to join us is just go to wadekellerpostshow.com, navigate to the live stream link. Lots of ways to live stream the show. We go live roughly 5 minutes after the show's end. If you want to email us, that's another way to go about things, especially if you can't listen live, but you want to participate in the show and get your thoughts or question in. That email address is wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. You can still email us while we're live on the show, or you can email at any time during the show. I know some of you watch Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown on a short delay, so maybe your question or comment will come in the midst of our show because you're still watching the TV show. So however it works, we know some people do that too. There's many ways to participate. All right, so speaking of which, I think that takes care of the business that needs to be taken care of. So let's begin taking calls, Travis, and getting some listener input. And certainly if we don't cover it in calls and emails, there's other things I definitely want to discuss on tonight's episode. We will begin with Chris in Warner Robins, Georgia. Chris, you're up first. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind tonight about SmackDown?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Man, these guys are getting better and better every time. Like, you know, you sing their praises a lot, but, like, you still have to lay it down for them.
Oh, it's great. And it got a little – it cooled off a little bit after Mania. And it is – the last few Bloodline-centric shows have been so strong. So strong.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, like, you're watching this go down, and you're seeing, like, Jimmy's reverting back to his old self when he first got back. although I'm not sure if they derailed that because of DUIs back when, but, like, he's getting back to, like, I ain't nobody's bitch, like, Jimmy again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Jay keeps on stepping in to protect him because this whole crew up to this whole entire thing has been Jimmy. Jay protecting Jimmy this whole entire time. So I'm kind of thinking at the celebration, the 1,000-day celebration, I'm thinking, like, Roman attacks him, and then Jay finally breaks and goes after Roman.
Oh, wow.
What do you think of that, Travis?
That's
it's crossed my mind.
Yeah.
It's boiling inside. Yeah, there's just so much, only so much you can take.
That would be soon, obviously next week, that if they come to blows. I thought we'd get a little more. I thought we'd stretch it out a little bit more. Doesn't need to be. It could be. Just depends on when they want to pull the trigger. I just wasn't thinking any time in the next few weeks. But if it happened, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen at the 1,000-day celebration. But there's thinking about what's on the horizon and SummerSlam still, you know, months off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was thinking maybe they wouldn't. This is going to be something for SummerSlam, but maybe, man. now I'm thinking about it. Holy crap! Yeah,
that's the thing. I don't put Chris a ton of, I won't say a ton of thought, but a ton of weight on my thoughts. I'll put it that way in terms of what the timing should be, because I sort of just trust that they've looked at the calendar. They understand the pace they want to go. And I'm sort of just along for the ride. Like, I mean, I can imagine, and I think about different ways this can play out, but I mean, I don't think there's like a right way that I'm going to come to knowledge of before I see things play out. Cause there's so many subtleties and so many, I mean, the flow chart of how you would create, I don't know, flow chart's a word, but like the lines you would draw to explain the dynamic between everybody. Everybody has a relationship with everybody that's different than everybody else does. Even with Solo, it's less developed, but there's these hints and there's these possibilities of, you know, how loyal is he to Roman? Is he just for hire? Does he have thoughts of his own that go against his body language and dutiful role that would pop the crowd? Like, I don't know any of that, but obviously they've sat around, the people involved in this, and thought through all of that. This is not half-assed. It's not being made up as they go along. And I mean, Roman doesn't have a lot of opponents on SmackDown that make any sense to divert him to. So Roman and Solo against the Usos, or Roman against Jimmy, or Roman against Jay, or Roman against Sammy in a rematch, all are options. And who knows where Solo fits into that, perhaps as an eventual opponent for Reigns. I think that's longer down the road. Travis, you're going to interject something there?
No, I was just saying, as you said, that's a good point.
Yeah. So Chris, back to you.
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, you know, he said it's prestige television with all this other stuff. And, like, you know, I was like, I almost wanted to stand up and clap my hands because, like, he's like, you got to pay attention for more than 2 seconds, which I agree. But the thing about it is, I was thinking maybe, possibly, tomorrow they have a disputed finish because, like, somebody pinned somebody while somebody else pinned somebody. And then you split the tag titles because they're having rumors about that. So technically, the Usos could still challenge Roman and Solo for titles. It's just not the unified titles.
What do you think, Travis?
Again, another thing that I hadn't thought of. I heard some vague rumors about the tag titles being split, but I didn't take them very seriously. So I'll believe it when I see it. Not that I don't think it's possible, but why would they want to add another title, another set of titles? I don't understand that, but I haven't thought about it much. So, but again, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, that's obviously a viable option that could happen. I don't know how I'd feel about that necessarily. Just would feel kind of cheap, I think. But.
And Chris, are you saying that there'd be two pins at once and they would split the titles? Like, what? There'd be like two winners of one match?
Kind of. The thing was, I was figuring in my head how they would get there to even two titles because, like, you know, everybody's trying to split up things and we're trying to, like, you know, there have been rumors, not to say they're true, but, like, you know, they said, like, two every brand has two titles equivalent to each other.
Right.
The only issue I see with that is who takes the pin. Like Roman would have to be pinning someone, and Solo would have to be taking the pin, or vice versa in that scenario. And I don't know if that's I actually said, oh, my prediction, or maybe not prediction, but I thought the finish would be whatever the shenanigans is that leads to it. It would be Sami Zayn pinning Roman Reigns, and it would be Roman being pinned for the first time in 3 years, 2 days away, or, you know, a week away from his 1,000-day celebration. And I thought, oh, that's going to be the cloud that hangs over that 1,000-day deal on SmackDown next week. So I'm not against that now, but after our conversation earlier, I'm kind of thinking, maybe they do win Roman and Solo, but yeah. So many directions, so much fantasy booking you can do.
Ooh.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, so many parts. parts to consider. But the thing is, it's his 1,000 day, and every time we have a title celebration, we always have a new belt. So are we getting the new belt for this?
I hope so. I wanted it immediately after WrestleMania. But that didn't happen. I thought they would go with but the focus had to be on the World Heavyweight title. So I understand not introducing a new title, merging the two Roman belts and having a new one. But eventually, and why not next week? The World Heavyweight title is concluded, or that tournament's concluded. You have a champion that's established. All right, let's do some... do some work over here, because carrying those two titles and they got to stop calling it the Undisputed.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And literally stop saying in the same breath, World Heavyweight Champion, and then saying Undisputed Heavyweight Champion, you know, like that's stop it.
So
bring the title and then just call it the WWE Championship again.
It is not too much to ask.
It's a time that we can drop the universal stuff. That's not something that's got a lineage that we need to care for and protect. No. It had a 7-year, whatever. What?
Mm-mm.
What? You want to protect the legacy of the universal championship?
No, not actually. What I'm saying is actually...
Sounds like it.
Say what? No. Is that like the basic, since they named the lineage of the other title that, like, you know, being followed tomorrow, they said it's actually like the one that was like established in 2002 and then kind of went deactivated when Randy won it in like 2014. So you have to kind of keep the Universal title name, even if you don't want to. I would like to call it the WWE title, but, you know, that's them.
I want to see how they sort this out before I get too worked up about it. It's a bit of a mess. I don't have much faith that this is going to ultimately make sense. So obviously don't want to get my hopes up about it, but at the same time, you know, it needs some cleaning up. There's just no doubt about that. But they also needed to acknowledge what happens if AJ Styles wins the title. And they haven't done that.
Haven't even tried.
Yeah. And that sort of does give away that, you know, well, that's because he's not going to win. It's not going to be a problem. But and maybe the best solution is to not draw attention to it for the small percentage of people who aren't thinking about it, but it's kind of cheap.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, what else for us?
I don't know if you saw the press conference for Night of the Champions, but I think Bianca was probably the most natural I have seen her talking to, like, correspondent. And, like, every time I see it, I think about you, Wade, because I'm like, this is what he's talking about.
Yep. Yep.
What's the issue with the press conference?
Oh,
I didn't see it.
just that when she's not standing in the ring scripted, quote, in WWE character mode, there's a much more marketable version of her than the one that we see that sort of takes on this, not cartoonish, but sort of WWE superstar framing.
And turn it up to 11.
Yeah, when she's just sort of herself, like, there's not the cadence to the talking. That doesn't resonate with people. She just is who she is. And it's like there's so much potential there with her if they can tap into that and bring that onto television. And we've seen it in mainstream media interviews, and then at the – I didn't see the press conference today, but I'm nodding along going, okay, now I really need to watch this because I want to you know, see more evidence of the things that I've been talking about that I've seen glimpses of before with her. So that's the argument. I know, Travis, you and I got into it. A little bit with her and her presentation, but you know, the idea is some of the heel stuff that she did in NXT has carried over to her babyface character, and I just don't think she's knocking it out of the park with her promos, and I think her ring entrance, while appealing to in a 7.5 to 9.5 year old female demographic, is limiting in other ways that could make her I think a mega star of this era, not just in the women's division, just in general. And so that's my take on it. And it sounds like Chris is saying he saw evidence of what I've been talking about earlier today.
Yeah.
What'd you think of her promo today, Trevor?
I thought this was the one time where the piped in boos and cheers was pretty evident.
Yes. By pretty evident, you mean sledgehammer to the head,
like,
you know,
obvious, like yeah. let's linger on this crowd shot that's so very different than the audio.
Yes.
But man. Yeah, I'm thinking, or I heard that the entire Bianca and the Street Profits are going to be going heel soon. So I'm wondering if Asuka pushing her as far as Asuka's pushing her is gonna be a part of that over this summer, if that is indeed true.
Yeah. I don't generally talk about spoiler rumors for storylines any more than I want someone to tell me what's going on the Succession finale or anything like that. But you know, I think in a general sense it would be not a bad thing if the Profits and Bianca got a refresh in their act. I think it would give them more to work with. But yeah, I'm just not in this era. I'm not a fan of anyone reporting spoilers ahead of time, but thankfully spoilers are wrong, you know, 40 to 70% of the time, you know, in any given month.
I don't think that's a spoiler. That's just kind of speculation, isn't it?
Well, the way you framed it, it sounded like you were saying you heard that might be the plan. That was my interpretation of it. But either way, I mean, if it's something that's gotten brought up as an idea to give the act a spark, I'm all for it. Cause I mean, I just think there's so much more potential. And also, by the way, I also think Montez Ford and Dawkins, like, to get to the next level, I think one or both of them going through a run as a heel has potential to engage the fans in a different way and broaden what they're doing beyond Dawkins doing the noise he makes on the way to the ring and Montez, you know, being a bit intense and over the top in cartoonish and everything he does. I just want to see more vicious, grounded. It'd be compelling to see an edgier version of them instead of, you know, what we get. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'd like, especially if they put time and effort and you know, the emotion and story behind it.
Yeah.
And give us a reason why they all, you know, they didn't care enough to do it with Hit Row. Like, I get it. Like, Hit Row just turned heel, yeah. And it was just kind of whatever. No one cared, and they weren't asked to care, really.
Yeah.
But the TV they saw. So, you know, obviously, I'm pretty sure they're going to get better than that. But, I'm looking forward to it.
Would you like to see Montez and Dawkins turn heel, or just one of them?
No, I'd like to see the whole squad get turned.
I would too, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to see, and again, you need a good reason.
Yep. You know, everybody just, all of a sudden, yeah, let's all be bad. That's like yep. someone needs to, and who's going to be the reluctant one? How do they go, you know what, you two are right, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it should be, maybe even Dawkins and Bianca are trying to convince Montez, not naturally. You would think it would either be them two, the tag team trying to get her to turn bad, because that's kind of the natural, I think she's, you know, her whole gimmick is, I do this for, you know, for the girl. Oh, the whole positive thing that she does. Mm-hmm. So them going first and then trying to recruit her and her being resistant to it at first, and then she gets, but maybe even a twist, it would be one of them and her trying to turn the other tag guy. But yeah, I just give me something thought out and something that they themselves, the talent is into. And I think they'll do the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Chris, I'll throw it at you for any final comments before I move on to Nick and Brattleboro, who's up next.
Oh, yeah. Like, I totally agree. Like, Bianca needs a heel turn. Because, like, thing is, like, it's actually she has to get in touch with herself through that. The idea of, Roman's your best example. Like, you know, you always knew what he could be, but then he's like, at the field management, I got to be myself. So let her be herself as a heel and then find herself as a face.
And I will say this, one more thing about that is my man Josh, he's convinced Bianca is the next John Cena, as far as like she's going to be the one over with kids consistently for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think a heel turn right now would throw a lot of cold water on that, because Cena didn't turn. Yep. You know, once he was babyface, he stayed, and to this day. So I think that would, that's my only kind of, like, if they really want her to be that, then I think they have to find a way to make her as a babyface compelling. And
yeah.
Yeah. So again, a lot of different directions, and it's exciting to think about.
Very cool. Chris, appreciate the call.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. Thank you.
Our number is 347-215-8558. If you're live streaming the show, give us a call and push 1 if you want to be brought onto the show and contribute to it like Chris just did. And like Nick from Brattleboro, Vermont is about to do. Nick, welcome. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Good evening, Wade and Travis. I'm just going to pile on the Bianca bandwagon. The real fake crowd noise. And I think they have to take the title off of her. I mean, she's so stale in the ring. I mean, she's fabulous, her actions in the ring, but her promos are stilted. Her attitude is stilted. They're also going too far with these long championship runs, because it waters down the other long championship runs. And I just feel that how to turn her, maybe she loses to Asuka and then she sinks into a deep depravity of remorse and Montez can't bring her out. I don't know. I think I loved her as a heel on NXT several years ago. And granted, back then when they were just doing the one-hour show on the network and they could really script things really well, but I thought she came across as a great heel. And she used her hair as a whip. Yeah, she's going to lose the 6.5 to 9-year-old girls, but I think she'll gain a whole bunch of 18 to 49-year-old guys if she's out there. Her attitude being as badass as her athletic prowess is in the ring.
Yeah, Travis, any additional thoughts on that?
No, I think that's a
a fair point. I don't there was one thing you said I didn't. Oh, the long title reigns. I don't agree necessarily with that. I think long title reigns are long title reigns. I don't think they water down each other. It's just happens. You just happen to have three going right now that are, and really four if you, you know, that one ended with the Usos.
Right.
To me, that's fine. If we're going to have to deal with extremes, this is the extreme I'd like instead of every title's changing hands every other month or every 4 months or even every 6 months. This is fine. I'm good with it. But that's a minor thing.
It's something I think we can agree to disagree on. That's fine. I totally value your opinion on that.
But as far as Bianca goes, I think she was great, obviously, in NXT as a heel. I'm kind of torn as far as do I want her to go heel. I'd like to see that, but I'd also I kind of want to see a woman John Cena, like just somebody that's just wholesome the whole way through. That'd be great.
Sometimes
the crowd just won't let you.
And if she was better at it, I would be more for it. As annoying as Cena could be, it's like it was a lot to give up. And it's not like Bianca hasn't established a fan base and all that, but it's a lot to give up. But sometimes you sell tickets because fans are crushed by somebody they loved and admired and trusted turning on them. I mean, that's the best kind of heel turn. So it's ballsy to do it, but I think it makes sense. I think all told, there's more to be gained.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to twist my arm if I was in charge of creative. Sorry, but you wouldn't have to twist my arm if it was a binary choice. Do we turn them or do we not? And they said we're going to, and I'm like, okay, I'm not. I wouldn't have to be really, really talked into it. I wouldn't have to go hard for her to stay babyface. So.
Yep, makes sense.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Go ahead, Nick.
Pet peeve. I just got to throw it out there. She's standing out there on SmackDown, and she's going, I'm so proud to be the Raw Women's Champion. They've got to do something about this. And I know they do. I think the only solution, because obviously they don't want to do the belt swap in the middle of the ring. Otherwise, they would have done it already. But I think what they have to do is just stop calling them the Raw and the SmackDown title. Call them the... You know, just like they did.
And what do you call it?
They before this whole United title thing, they had the WWE title, and then when they were in the hole with Stephanie battling with Shane, they created the Universal title to be better than the WWE title. And so I guess call them whatever you want to call them.
They go to the Raw and the SmackDown title. You didn't like it.
On top of that is, I think they have to keep the name Universal at least as long as Roman's holding it, because his 1,000 days is with the Universal title. And I think he's
right. He did
400
get the
with
WWE
the
title.
And I will totally agree with everything you said about the Bloodline. The last 3 weeks has just been great. I think Jay deserves an Emmy Award, quite frankly. I know WWE has always wanted to get an Emmy Award. If someone deserves an Emmy Award on that show, it's not Roman. I think it's Jay. He has just been so great throughout this whole thing. And he has always protected Jimmy. Because if you remember when he was fighting with Roman, and Jimmy, with his knee injury, came into the ring, and Roman was going to bust his leg wide open until Jimmy said, until Jay said, I'll acknowledge you. Always protecting him. And I can't wait to see how this resolves. And I agree with Wade. If they want to do it in 2 weeks, fine. If they want to draw it out that's fine too. And a lot depends on what they have decided to do with Cody and the story.
Yeah.
That it's, are they going to wait until WrestleMania to finish the story? And that way then you can fight with Jay and Jimmy and Solo, because I think ultimately he'll go with his brothers. And that's who Roman beats leading up to WrestleMania. But I don't care. I can't wait to see how it all ends and how, you know, I'm excited.
It's fun to have something that's compelling and that's well done. And I mean, everybody involved, I hear it, but you also just see it, that they take such pride in this. I think they know that they've got something special going on here with some actors who, I mean, Travis, we've watched the Usos from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Did they always have this in them? No, yeah, I was almost said that. and it wasn't intended. It just sort of came out. But I didn't know they had this in them. And it's why I still am holding out hope for the Bucks, the Young Bucks, to have a whole other chapter in them where they show they've got more range than they've shown.
Well, as soon as going back to 3 years ago with the Jay and Roman feud, we knew – I think we started seeing it
oh,
then
I
and realizing.
I mean 10 years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, when they were face painting and all that stuff. Yeah. I thought we all knew they were good and in the ring, but personality wise, no way. Anybody tells you that in 2012 or they were shut up. No, you didn't. Not until they started doing that Uso Penitentiary stuff in 2016-17 did they really when they dropped the. When they dropped the island stuff and went a little street tough,
yep.
That's when they started showing it. It was probably more because it was more along the lines of who they were, and it just came across a lot more natural than smiling. I don't know the dance. It's not the haka. That's the New Zealand one, but the Polynesian dance they did and all that.
Yeah.
And traditional Samoan stuff. Like, oh yeah, it's fun stuff, but how long can that? How much can you delve into those characters, especially how WWE books and treats tag teams, especially, then. They got it. And it's good that they're being acknowledged, pun completely intended.
There we go.
Acknowledge me.
Cool. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, last point, and then I'll let you guys go. I'm a big fan of LA Knight. I think he's really doing his best to climb in the ladder. And I thought the fact that they piped in boos for him tonight was just counterproductive. Why not ride this? Maybe they want him to be a heel, but the audience wants to turn him babyface. And or babyface with an edge or something, but he's okay in the ring. He can do his stuff in the ring, but put the mic in his hand, and he's just I think he's great. And I was just really confused that they piped in Boogs for him today. I guess trying to get Boogs over, but I mean Boogs is a joke as far as I'm concerned. But I'll leave that there.
I think Boogs is a self-aware, or the gimmick is self-aware that he's a joke. Like, that's why I don't mind it, because, it's like, of course he's a joke, and he knows it, and everyone kind of makes fun of him for it, and, so I like, the things that bother me more are things where someone doesn't know they're a joke, and they're taking themselves too seriously, or they're oblivious, and, Boogs is just all in on being a big goof. Go ahead, Travis.
I liked him best when he was Eric Bugenhagen in NXT. I thought he had just a ton of personality with an energy without the overly silly, self-aware goofball stuff. He was a goofball, and he was self-aware, but it just wasn't his turn to 11 or 12. He was sitting at a solid 7 or 8, which was in that case, fine. I don't know what they're doing with him now, or what they want from him, besides being like, he's just too much of a big
you know, corn-fed strong guy to be, you know, he's thrown around LA Knight, and it's not, you know, LA Knight's not necessarily selling for the guy. It's just he's getting shoved around and picked up and tossed, and LA Knight's no small dude. So to have this big old hustle in the ring being this goofball, it's I don't know, incongruent. I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as saying he's a joke, even though he is, but not like in that kind of insulting way.
Yeah.
But I think there's just a better way, and we saw it in NXT. There's a better way of presenting him in particular.
I think they want to keep LA Knight heel because they understand he's gonna be a babyface sooner than later, but they just want to tell a story first that's different than going right to it. And you can argue that, you know, it's you know, an uphill battle and it's a headwind, it's not worth it. But yeah, I think they think delaying the gratification of him being a babyface and letting him do a full fledged heel act first for a while is the way to go.
Triple H acknowledged he knows, he understands that fans want him, like he's there, he hears it and he feels it and all those kinds of things. So I think you're spot on the way that we're going to he's going to be a baby face. Just not right now, which is fine because it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense for his character to go, oh, hey, you guys are cheering me. I guess I'll play into it and smile and come out and shake hands and slap hands while I come down the Like, no, I'd rather you give us a reason he turns face. The crowd being behind him could certainly be a part of that. Put him in there with somebody who I don't want to boo Boogs because I think that's just not like just start putting them in there with folks that we can boo and cheer him against.
Well, they're not going to have a pre-taped SmackDown every week where they can completely overwhelm the cheers either. So, you know, it can go to a point of being a little ridiculous where it's like, all right, we just have to stop fighting this. But, you know, let fans do what they want and, you know, they'll either listen or not. I mean, we saw with Cena, they didn't listen. We saw with Reigns, it took forever. But, you know,
fans are
going to be fans.
I could see a nice 4-month slow transition, and then he takes the U.S. title at SummerSlam or something. Something like that could be interesting.
Yeah, I think part of it is they think he's, you know, more equipped to be a heel in the ring than a babyface. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if the fans are into him, that's all. You know, ultimately that's what counts. And so don't fight it forever. Don't fight it out of spite. But you know, they might have a plan in mind, and it'll all make sense in the end.
Just to do a little advertising for you, Wade, when are you doing your roundtable for the show tomorrow? Is it going to be
right after it?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, have a very busy and happy weekend because you've got a lot of stuff to do.
I know.
What's your turnaround between shows?
Oh, it's just Saturday afternoon and then Sunday night.
Oh, okay. Oh, the Saudi shows are like 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then AEW will be normal, like 6 or 7 start time. Okay.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot going on a holiday weekend, and I used to have, you know, did things with family and friends or travel on the weekends, and AEW's ruined that, and now even a travel day has been taken away by WWE running this show. But whatever, you know, I'm not complaining. It just is what it is, you know. My job is to spend my holiday weekend watching wrestling. It's not the worst thing.
Well, go take a nice bike ride on Monday when all of this is over.
I'll probably fit a bike ride in, you know.
Okay.
Twice this week. In addition to all the work I have to do. That's how I stay sane.
All right, guys. Well, have a good weekend and a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick. Good to hear your voice. Have a good weekend. All right. Our number is 347-215-8558. We'll go to Sean in Murfreesboro, Tennessee next. Sean, welcome. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Well, first, I got to say, Travis, it's always fun talking to you, man, because we don't get to hear you on here very often. And
I just messaged you because I just realized, crap, I have not freaking followed Travis Bryant on Twitter. I'm a freaking idiot. I'm a horrible human being. I apologize for that.
You know, it's all he talks about, Sean.
But you go back later and
it's all he talks about. Yeah.
So I did see the notification and I was like, oh, okay. I didn't, but I saw you have mutual follows. That's why I didn't immediately go, what is this? I'm on a platform and I hate when people follow me. Like, who is this? What do you want?
I know. Yes. Yeah.
but he has mutual, so I was like, okay, he must be cool. Zach Haydorn and Mike Myers and Doc Bruce like him. So okay, but yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. But wait, I'm gonna be the appreciator of you right now. This week is gonna be great. I know you have to do a lot of this stuff, but again, we all love wrestling. We all love to talk about it, and this is a fun weekend to talk about it, you know, so there's a lot to do, but it's fun, you know, as a wrestling fan, it's really enjoyable. And I thank you guys for all that you do and all that we get to listen to. And I've been a VIP member for all that time for a reason. There's a reason why. Go VIP, people. You're crazy if you don't. Anyway, I'll throw that out there. So, I want to throw the quick, you know, all you guys are saying about the Bloodline. It's just been fantastic. Tonight was great. And I'll say, even though Jay has been great for as long as he has, like, Jimmy has been really good lately. Like, these last couple weeks, Jimmy's been really good. I really, you just see the pain in his face. He just wants to pop Roman so bad, but he knows he's like, and just his acting's been a lot better. It was kind of bad at first, but I think it's definitely gotten better as time has gone on, and he's just, they're just so invested in what they're doing, so that's been great. But I wanted to go back to the opening segment because he was just talking about the U.S. title.
Yeah,
I was talking to you last week about kind of rushing to the title match, and it's fine for what it was. The match was okay, you know. I still think there's an upside of the theory. I just think they're just going with this heel, you know, chicken crap heel that's just cheating to win every match and finding the cheap way to win every match, and I just don't think it's helping anyone involved. I mean, Sheamus is okay. I mean, he'll be fine because Sheamus kind of is what he is right now, and he's, and the fans love him. But theory, just I don't know where they're going with him. Where do you think they're going? Get worse? Where do you think this is going?
They're playing longbow with him. I mean, he's a cowardly heel right now, who's young and cocky and cheating to win, and it's not his time to be the centerpiece. And if they tried to make him more of a centerpiece when he's on the same brand as the Bloodline and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, it wouldn't work. I mean, he is on a 3 to 6 year course to being a top tier star and not being a top tier guy right now and being booked in a way that makes him out to be a loser. That's by design and it's fine. I mean, it's not going to matter by the time that they need him to step up, and he's got to pass some tests between now and then and not screw up and get better. But you know, Wade Barrett would not be allowed to say on commentary that nobody has a brighter upside than Austin Theory if they looked at him the way that people interpret the booking of him right now as a burial or you know, evidence.
How is he getting buried?
Right.
Burial. Like, I'd love to be featured on TV every week with a respected championship, you know, and I look great and I'm chiseled and the ladies love me. Well, you know, whatever you assume. But is that really his gimmick? But I don't. He's fine. That finish, that match and the finish to that tonight with the U.S. title was great. The interference was perfect. The actual, you know, that reminds me, Michael Cole needs, and the announcers in general, not just Cole, but it's the last two times I remember him, it's been him.
Yeah.
He acknowledged on the pin, oh, he's got the tights, but never brings it up again. And they act like he just won by talent. Like they're doing this halfway. Like you want him to be a chicken heel and a coward heel and an undeserving champion who cheats, then bring attention to the fact that he cheated and pulled the guy's tights earlier.
Right.
The replays when they're recapping the match, they never say, Wade. He had the tights. Stop praising him so much. And Wade's like, I don't know what you're talking about or whatever. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying, whatever his attitude would be. But Austin Theory's perfectly fine. I thought the only burial that he's been a part of the last year was John Cena unnecessarily pointing out a bunch of faults for no reason. Like, that's a burial. And I don't care if he knew it was coming or agreed or whatever. Like, that's just was unnecessary and had nothing to do with wins and losses. And
John Cena fancies himself this like sage who's going to walk in because of all the money and success he had and say some hard truths to the face of Austin Theory as a kick in the ass to humble him and make him more hungry. And it's like, you know, you can do that behind the scenes. You don't need to do it on national TV and undercut the match and all that. I mean, you know, Cena shows up and kind of does what he wants and he's got his thing and there just isn't anyone who's going to walk up to him and go, you know, Paul Levesque or anyone go, thank you so much for being here. We know you don't need to be here. We know you're not really into this anymore. We know you got nothing more to give than what you've, you know, he's admitted he's got nothing more to give, but we have a completely different idea of what we want you to do out there. And we want you to follow these bullet points in the script. Nobody wants to do that because Vince McMahon kind of enjoys the bullying thing that Cena did. Cause he knows ultimately it doesn't matter either way in terms of whether theory, you know, what theory's ultimate success is. It's a little bit of a setback. But nobody else can go, hey, John, you know, I get what you're saying, but your wrestling IQ has always been pretty inconsistent in terms of, you know, what you say in your promos and, you know, I just don't think, I mean, Cena was mega successful, right? I mean, obviously he made tons of money and mm-hmm. was the face and the safe for kids, safe for families face that WWE needed coming out of all the scandals and all that. But he said so many dumb things and so many tone deaf things over the years. And I think among the top guys in wrestling, he's mid when it comes to what I believe are the sort of fundamental truths of what made him work and how to make other people work. So I'm not all that up in arms about it. I understand the context. He's here doing us a favor. Let him go do his thing. Theory will be fine. But I'm not going to like praise Cena, but I'm not going to be worked up because I don't think it was like this thing that did any kind of long-term damage to Theory, even if it was dumb and Cena had in his head that he's, you know, this guy coming in to teach someone a lesson. It's like, first of all, it's not the context. I mean, I still remember him standing on the rock going, I hope we entertained you tonight. It's like, shut the F up. You don't, your job isn't to entertain people. Your job is to win matches. You entertain us by not breaking the fourth wall and saying we're all here to entertain you with fake matches and silly promos that are scripted. Stop it. You know? So anyway, rant over. go ahead, John.
No, and that's what I say, like, you know, as far as, you know, Theory as a whole, like, you know, I'm not like, oh gosh, he's the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm definitely not going to that point or anything like that. Like, I mean, he's doing the role he's been given. I think he's doing it really well. I don't necessarily love it for him, but I think the upside, you know, there's still plenty to do and there's plenty they're going to do. And I guess with the U.S. title, I was thinking, you know, just knowing, I guess if you're comparing what he's done with the U.S. title as far as being a heel in the way that he's being a heel, in a way, you can compare it to Gunther in with the Intercontinental title, but I just feel like, I don't know, it just hasn't, like, I guess clicked with me overall. But again, I'm like, I'm not, you know, down in arms. I think he's going to be fine. And I thought the match was fine, and, you know, even with the interference, I thought it was good. I mean, I thought they did a good job, you know, for what it was, a pre-tape match, but it was fine. But I wanted to go, too, to talk about a little bit about Bayley, because, like, the tag team women's match was what it was. I mean, it was fine. I mean, it wasn't as bad. Like, Raquel, I think, has to turn heel at some point. I'm just not buying her as a face. It's just that I don't like. That I do not like. She's got to be a heel. Like, I just do not like her as a face. But going back to Bayley, okay, going back to Bianca really fast, as far as she can't lose the title tomorrow. She just can't. Like, Asuka lost at WrestleMania. You can't all of a sudden have her win at Night of Champions. It just doesn't really make any sense. Like, Asuka's not in a really good spot either. And with the women as a whole, like, there's just nobody built up other than, like, you know, Rhea, who's already got a title, and, like, which I'm hoping they merge the titles at some point, just have them wrestle and have them merge the titles and have one champion. But there's not a lot of women that can go up against Bianca right now. There's nobody that you feel that doesn't have a title that can really beat Bianca and make it feel like a big deal that they're the champion. And so Bayley, I just feel like she's so lost right now. Like, Damage Control, they got to break them up. They got to do something. Like, this kind of a breakup is taking too long. Like, they got to do something to mix that up. What do you think about all that with Bayley and Damage Control and but the women's division.
Yeah, yeah. Travis, you were, you know, a proponent of Bayley coming into the main roster. What do you think about where she is right now?
I agree that she's a bit lost. The whole group is lost. I mean, Dakota's literally is lost to the group, you know, with injury.
Yeah.
You know, on the shelf for at least 8 months. You know, I don't think ACLs can, you know, that's pretty much the standard quick comeback from an ACL. And I think it might be her second knee injury. So I think you finished the story. You finish telling this thing with her and EO. Obviously, they have to modify it a bit with Dakota out. But I think right now, Bailey's job should be to make EO the baby face that ends up, whether it's at SummerSlam or at the Rumble or WrestleMania next year, to take on a heel, Bianca Belair, or is, I guess they're on different shows, but some Rhea Ripley type, somebody that's as a baby face, and get her over and position her to get her over as a top baby face on the women's side. Other than that, I mean, that's really right now, that's all she has to contribute, because I wouldn't take her seriously in a contenders. She was a top contender right now. Like, she had her bunch of chances. I mean, that's some of the contention with EO and Dakota in her. Like, Bailey took all the chances. Now it's out. Like, let us get some. You keep losing. Let's get some shine. And EO shining. And I think she could be the next one. And the crowd likes her. And they definitely liked her in Puerto Rico.
Yes. Yep. Very good. Sean, what else?
And then I just want to talk about AJ real fast, because, you know, he's not winning, you know, the title tomorrow. I mean, I'm pretty sure about that, which is fine. You know, I hope even though it's in Saudi, I hope they have a really good match. I'd really love to see him instead of just, you know, burn the house down, and you know, no pun intended. You know, how much, like, what do you think in these next last couple of years for AJ? Because I still think he's got a lot left in him. I know the promos lately haven't been, like the one last week with Grayson Waller, I didn't think was that great. You know, I was telling Wade Trav about how he's, you know, I need this more than the air I breathe. Well, no, if you need it more than the air that you breathe, you're going to die. So, no, you don't. But it just seemed kind of, like, I don't know. Like, AJ just has so much to give still, even though he's getting older. I mean, I know he's in his, like, what, mid-40s. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. But at the same time, I feel like he could still have a title run in him somewhere. So what do you think the rest of this future could be? And I appreciate both of you guys. Like I said, I'm excited for this weekend to hear all the stuff. And, Wade, I'm going to listen to that draft, and I'm curious to see what you guys picked. I'm really – oh, and I was going to tell you real fast, like, this is not a spoiler. I was just, like, had Rampage on in the background. And I just think it hurts when you have Jericho at the – you know, on the, it was, they had him, JR, Excalibur, and Jericho was just sitting there like he's a commentator. And it's like, dude, you're a heel right now. If you're going to be a heel. Like, I don't know. I don't like the way they do that. I just want to throw that out there. I thought that was kind of weird. Jericho's all over the place right now, but the feud is good. But, you know, anyway, but I appreciate all you guys do, and go VIP. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean. Travis. Any thoughts on anything Sean wrapped up with there?
Yeah, I think AJ's got – I think he could have a title run in him, but there would need to be some – not rehab, but, you know, he's been off TV for you know, 6-8 months. I think they'd need to, you know, get him heat up before they did that, whether it was with his association with the OC or not. But I don't think – he's going to have a title run in him. He might have one in him, but he won't, like, get that opportunity unless something, like, really, you know, shocking injuries, just a string of injuries, and he's one of the last guys standing that you can count on. But
I think you can use him in so many different ways where, you know, you don't have to have him as a contender or a top contender. He can be a contender, but, you know.
It's weird imagining AJ not as, like, just, you know, one of the top guys. It's just weird, you know, because he's been so good and a top guy for so long. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure where he fits right now. You know, what some of it depends on how much can he go, how passionate can he be. And, you know, he seems, you know, this promo tonight was, you know, going through the motions a little. But part of it is, you know, I assume he's not winning. And if he's not winning, do you want to come across like this is the most important thing in the world to you? Philosophically, I think you should not, because you're losing, not downplay the match before it happens, because you don't want to look bad for losing a match that you cared so much about. Like, I think you deal with loss and you tell the story that it's very important. But this sort of is, you know, I mean, all the time, I mean, getting into the world title push, the hype, everything has been about Seth, you know, I mean, it's just, and anything with AJ has been just kind of going through some motions. So, you know, if you're AJ, you're just like, well, come on, this is, you know, clearly not about me. It's so much more about Seth, and let's not pretend otherwise. What have you thought, Travis, of the way that they've set up the world title match and how much Seth has been stressed compared to AJ?
Yeah, I think they've done an even job or Toke, you know, kind of giving AJ his shine with the video packages. But it's just one, they're on different shows and that part of your brain just won't allow you to go, AJ's can possibly win. They just there's so many ways they could just, AJ just randomly goes, yeah, and when I win this title and then I show up on Raw, you know, just let us, whatever, it's a little late for that, you know, 12 hours or so from the match.
Yeah.
But it's been great for Seth. Like, they've done a good job positioning him as the man, and I think that's the right choice. I just think they could have tightened things up, and that's kind of been the theme of a few conversations, mostly around the title belts and very what you call them and that kind of stuff. But just tighten some things up, and that's one of them.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Sean. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it as always. Let's jump to an email from Azan in St. Louis. He says, "Hello, Aiden Travis. Do you think there's a way to salvage Hit Row as a group?"
No.
And do you care? Is it are they underutilizing them, or do you think they could have been something, but it's too late? Where are you on that?
I thought they, you know, when they had Swerve, I called it. So everybody got bumped up. I think I went through this before, and the Adonis guy Ashanti isn't a. He isn't, he shouldn't be featured. Like, he's a great number three. He looks good.
Yep.
He has the vibes and the body language. But that's, you know, that's about it. He's a good third guy because Swerve was the personality. Top Dollar was the muscle and the hype man. And Ashanti was the one that bought some athleticism. But didn't say much, and that was perfectly fine because you had those two other, you know, big personalities, and you know, you got Brianna, who does her thing, and she's, you know, with her ad libs and brings the energy she does. He didn't need to be, but everybody got bumped up a slot, and he has to bring it as a personality, and he just doesn't have it. And Top Dollar as a number one guy always get the mic talking. That's not a thing you want. You want him to add on to stuff, hype the guy up who's the real talent of the group, and that was Swerve. But now he has to be the top guy, and everything has to, you know, kind of revolve around him on the mic and in the ring. Just, yeah, nobody's in a good in their lane anymore. Nobody's in their fit.
Okay. Number two, he says, what do you think about the people getting behind LA Knight of late? We covered that. Yeah. Three, what do you think about the focus on younger wrestlers in WWE of late, especially with the latest bunch from NXT on SmackDown? Yeah, I mean, it's still a work in progress. We got a little vignette with Grayson Waller tonight, but I mean, it's you know, a little video package on the NXT Tag Champs. Travis, what do you think about the NXT call ups at this point and how they're being presented?
I think Grayson Waller is very forced. I think his whole personality is like, it's fine. Like, if he just, it's just something about it. And the thing last week, which was my real introduction to him, because I don't watch NXT too much these days, I didn't understand that segment ended like was just a big dud, because Grayson Waller was being somewhat heelish, but affable and, you know, go along, get along. And then all of a sudden, he heals it up and it made no sense. And AJ was stuck, like, instead of looking at this guy like, what's your problem? Like, he has to, like, you know, bow up and act like he wants to maybe fight the guy, which I get, but that was just weird. So him in particular, Zoe Stark, maybe she just needs to, you know, get her feet under her and get, but I didn't care for her in NXT when I did see her. Not forced like Grayson Waller, but just not necessarily natural. I think she does some things well, but talking and getting herself over isn't, I don't think, one of them. And I've only seen her 2 weeks on TV or whatever, 3 weeks. So I'm holding out. But Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn, and I didn't like Kaylee Ray. I really hated her in NXT UK and her whole thing. But not being the centerpiece and having and being in the tag division, I don't focus on how small she is and how I can't take her seriously, because I can kind of, like, it's fine now. Like, she worked. And that finisher, that double team finisher they have, is absolutely legit. And that's one thing that immediately can take you, you know, in somebody's mind, take you to a next level. I thought, like, Sol Ruka, she's like, oh, there's this young, you know, athletic lady. And then you see her hit that finish, you're like, oh, she could be something based on that alone. The women's tag team, and they haven't even brought up Kayden and I always forget what they call Casey Catanzaro now. Something, I forget. They haven't even featured them or had an interview or vignette or anything with them yet. So I'm wondering if they're maybe rethinking that. That'd be a little awkward.
Yeah, I worry that, you know, I'm just not sure how much that went into exactly who got called up from NXT and who didn't. We've seen that being inconsistent, and I just think it's too early to tell. We're just getting vignettes. I'll circle back to Grayson Waller being, you know, one of the top picks, and I thought last week was a rough start. It's just, you know, he wasn't the alpha in that scenario. It wasn't the right way to feature him, and it almost just detriment Corey Graves, you know, like, and so. I don't know, but I think he'll be fine. Zoe Stark, I thought, was fine in her vignette earlier this week. I think they're establishing her in a way that fits what I think is the right role for her. Cameron Grimes tonight, by the way, I thought that was an awful soundbite during his ring entrance. It was right out of 1985 Saturday Night's Main Event. He didn't look like he believed what he was saying. It was too clever to be extemporaneous, but it was presented as if it was. And he's just an old country boy with a cave-in finisher. He's not going to have he's not going to say those words the way that he said them. And then he ends with to the moon. Ugh, I don't know.
So sick of that.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the to the moon stuff. I don't get it. Like, why? Like, it just doesn't, like, he has this look about him. And then when he starts talking, it's like, why is he so goofy?
Yeah.
And why is he talking like that? And then he ends with the cheesiest, weirdest, over-the-topest catchphrase that I don't think is going to get over on the main roster. It was one thing in NXT, but, you know, three years ago. it's another thing on the main roster in 2023.
Yeah, like, I mean, I must have been born under a lucky star because things are going my way, and it's like, you want a match over a guy who loses all the time last week. Like, if, you know, and now you win another quick, I don't know. It's just, I am not big on what they're doing with him right now. I don't think he's being given good material. I don't think his character is fleshed out at all. We don't know who he is. I don't think they know who he is or what he's supposed to be. And I think he looks lost as a result of that. And he's so good in the ring. If they didn't have an idea of what his character was going to be, because, I mean, when he appears on his promos, it looks like he's dressed up for church and just got his teeth whitened. And he's wearing, you know, like beautiful contact lenses or, you know, there's a filter to bring out those beautiful blue eyes. It's like, what's his gimmick? And then he comes out wearing the vest and talking about to the moon with an X. It's, they don't know what he is. He doesn't seem to know what he is. And there's way too much talent there to let his character flounder like this. I think it would have been a better start for him to have no gimmick and be like presented practically as a jobber who just like standing in the ring, Cameron Grimes, a prospect from NXT, and he gets like, he's against a top guy and he manages to pull out a win. And they could have told that story if Baron Corbin wasn't such a loser, and it could have been Corbin. And I think that's what they were going for a little bit. But it didn't work because it matched about Corbin and his losing streak. It wasn't about Grimes, and it came across too fluky, and he didn't get to show how good he is in the ring. I don't know.
I mean, he did this week, and a little bit, well, certainly more than the week before, and I'm heartened a little bit by the look he gave the camera after his win. Maybe it just was coincidence. His hair was all in his face, and he kind of had this bit of an edge to him, and that's all I want to see. Like, the silly stuff is just, like, he doesn't need that, and it doesn't work. He's not good at that. Or certainly he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't really believe in it because it's just kind of flat and like, and it's like, hey, this got me over, you know, 2 years ago in this other place with this smaller fan base and this weekly crowd. That's just not going to work up here, buddy. And I think he knows that, but they haven't, but they're like, no, go out there and do the Cameron Grimes NXT stuff. And we have no content. We don't know. Like you said, we don't know who he is. We don't know why he's there. But I was, again, heartened a bit at the end when he had the look on his face. So maybe, but then he did the thing. He was walking up the ramp and he's doing his to the moon stuff. And then Baron Corbin has to, you know, clobber him a bit. And we'll see. But it's not been the best for the NXT folks in the last 3 weeks since the draft. Like, it's just kind of been okay at best.
Yeah, or mixed bag. But it's early, but it doesn't feel like as much thought has been put into it as I think some of these wrestlers deserved to have given their talent and what their true potential is.
Yeah, so. I can't complain. I complain about AEW signing a guy like Jay White and then immediately putting them on TV doing regular wrestler stuff. Like, wait, where is the, like, months, you know, the like, you sign the guy, you bring him in, maybe I'm just WWE-ized, but look at how Triple H brings a guy, you know, sign somebody, and you don't see him for weeks because they're hashing things out, they're putting a timetable in, they're getting his outfit right, they're getting the look right. Like, now, Jay White, show up in whatever you wore in New Japan. We're not thinking about these things. You're Jay White. You know your character. And that's the thing you want guys to have more control over. But it also just signals there's not a lot of thought. Are you thinking about where Jay White's going to be in 6 weeks? My point was, I'm not going to go off on that. But my point was, I can't yell at AEW for doing stuff like that when, like, it seems like they did the same thing with Cameron Grimes. Like, did y'all even put any kind of thought into what he's going to be doing, or are we just he shows up and you think about it the day of the show? It's not great. And again, like you said, it's just too much talent. He's too good to get that kind of treatment.
Yeah,
I'm sure he shares some of the blame. I don't want to put this all on management. Because, you know, he's the talent. He's got to
assert himself or be better on camera or whatever it is, he's not blameless.
No, but yeah, there comes a point. I don't know. I mean, I'm not panicked at the moment. I think he's talented enough. He'll overcome it. Just sometimes there's rocky starts and they don't have to be rocky, but they are. But he is good enough. I think ultimately he'll get through this and be fine. And, you know, be, I don't even, you know, I don't know who to compare him to, but, yeah, his matches are really good, and I've seen him obviously do better promos and seem more in a mode that feels like he can climb, you know, to the top of the second tier and maybe eventually earn his way, you know, into working against top guys competitively. We'll see. Okay, let's go to Brad in Florida next. Brad, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, guys. So really quick, just on Kayden and Katana, just why they haven't shown up yet. In the match, there was a final match that they had on NXT against Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn hit Casey Catanzaro. No, God, what's her name? Katana Chance with a shot. And I'm pretty sure, and there's no report on it, but I'm pretty sure Katana broke her nose because it was bleeding profusely, like out of her nose at the end of that match. And they just kind of cut away at the end. But I'm pretty sure that's just why, like, who knows, maybe her nose is messed up and she needed to have a reconstructive or whatever. But I think that's why those two, you know, haven't been featured. Just, I don't know if you guys knew of that or whatever, but not a big deal, but you were just talking about it. What do you guys think of Bayley taking these pins? I think she's been pinned now two matches that she's had in a row. And, you know, for such a weak women's division, I think it is pretty weak, the women's division. Like, I'm surprised that one of their top people like her, or maybe they're not viewing her that way anymore, I don't know, but she's taking pins, it seems like, every single time. And it's kind of a little strange to me, to be honest, you know?
Sometimes that's a sign they're just planning to turn somebody babyface, and so they think no one will remember or care about those losses. Travis, what do you think?
It goes into the whole damage control just haven't clicked, and then they just haven't been good. Like when they were, you know, from SummerSlam to about the Rumble, they just weren't getting over as much as their push. Now they're just actively not good. Like they're in bad segments or not so great segments. Their matches are fine. They're all talented athletes. But the story that was around them and that was, it was just a bit of a dud. And Bayley taking a bunch of pins, I haven't noticed, but now that I think about it, yeah. Yep. She's been that was a part of the story. So I didn't look at it as, it was just like, well, this is the story you're telling leading probably to a damage control breakup. Yeah, I think less of the pins she's taken and more of just the story that just isn't catching with folks.
Yeah. All right, go on, Brad. What else?
Yeah, like I feel like just as much as Judgment Day, like they were a group that, you know, clearly like wasn't working a little bit in, and like they could have added another member or two, whether that was, you know, someone like a Lacey Evans or a Shotzi or I don't know. I have no idea. But like I feel like them maybe adding something kind of like what Judgment Day did a little bit, you know. Damian Priest wasn't really thought of too highly, certainly not as highly as he was now. I understand he had a good track record and he was the U.S. champion. He's a big, strong guy who's charismatic. But I feel like, you know, that's just an example of getting someone in the right position. And I feel like maybe Damage Control could have taken a different route if they added someone else. But who knows? It looks like it is falling apart, and especially with Dakota out now, I don't even know if they're going to do that Io Sky turn and what they were going to probably – seemed like they were going to do. But – regardless,
yeah, her reaction was weird tonight. I didn't get it. Sorry, but that was her begging off with Bayley, like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Well, aren't you just kind of like side-eyeing her for the last few weeks? Now you're apologizing. Right. I mean, not that she should have been uncaring. Like, well, sorry, you got pinned. Sucks for you, but she didn't have to be so obsequious. It's all, "Oh, Bayley, please forgive me."
Yeah. it was very, came across very like, aw shucks. The only other thing, and this is probably a really silly observation. I just want to bring it up because so much has been talked about already tonight by you guys. But I've noticed Paul Heyman and even Roman, like, they're, instead of saying Solo Sikoa, every time Paul Heyman's just calls him Solo, you know, Solo and Roman Reigns. Do you think this is like a Matt Riddle to Riddle type of thing? Like where they're like saying, oh, Sikoa is too complicated. We can't you know, use it anymore. So we're just going to use Solo from now on. And that's going to be his new name,
on
like
his
a
shirt.
Solo cup. It is on
it's
his
on
shirt.
It's on his shirt. And they still show it on the graphics. So they're not moving away from it like they did Riddle or whoever got their last name taken from them. But it is odd, and I've noticed that they never say Sikoa or rarely say Sikoa, which is odd because that's a cool name and that's his name. Say his damn name.
Yeah.
Paul
Heyman,
call guys
know
his by the first name, you know, every now and then, but or most of the time, but every now and then throw in his full name. Like imagine if they just called Randy Orton Randy all the time. It would be weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah, it's just something I've been noticing, but
yeah,
guys, I can't wait to listen to the part I missed, you know, later on, and I hope Night of Champions is good tomorrow at the end. I guess we can call it here in the U.S., but it should be. By the way, did you guys catch during the I don't know if you guys saw the media event that happened, but I assume you did. When Triple H came out at the beginning. You know, they introduced him, his music, they were all chanting Triple H, Triple H, Triple H. He started talking and then they all started saying LA Knight, LA Knight, LA Knight. And I'm sure he heard it. It's amazing how popular this guy is. And I thought one of the most exciting parts of SmackDown tonight and one of the most entertaining parts other than the KO show was when, you know, was when LA Knight took the mic after his match, and you could tell he was a little winded and out of breath, understandable, but he, you know, with everybody saying,
the best time he's got, give a guy a mic.
I'm with you.
Yeah. He's just got so many good little catchphrases that just are just very, very funny and very unique and just make people love him. And he's just really good. And I just found it so entertaining and it's amazing how popular he's become, and I think it's going to grow. I mean, do you guys see a good path for him after this Night of Champions things wraps up and whatever comes next, whether it's Money in the Bank matches or whatever?
Yeah. Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank will be kind of, you know, shit or get off the pot, I think, with LA Knight. I think they make their move. Whether, and I'm not even meaning in a face or heel way, like, whether he either wins it or, you know, I don't think he's the kind of wrestler that can steal the show, especially in that kind of match, but has a good showing, maybe comes really, really close. But I think he wins the thing, and I think the push of LA Knight starts in earnest after that. I mean,
wow.
And that's a way to keep the guy heel while, you know, letting the fans that want to cheer him because carrying that briefcase around and he being a heel with that, that's, I think that could open up some, that could stave off the real blatant babyface stuff because I think he'll run as a heel with that briefcase and it'll be good stuff and won't be so split. Or maybe we'll be split instead of just being so overwhelmingly, you know, fan react, babyface reaction for him. Or maybe that's when they go, hey, we're going all the way with him as a babyface. Let him walk around with the briefcase and get cheered instead of doing overly heelish stuff. But he can still be kind of an asshole because people like him. For that.
Exactly. That's the thing, yeah. I don't know that if they turn him, they want to change him. There's something that the fans like about what he does and his attitude now. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah, Brett, we talked a decent amount about LA Knight earlier so in the show, but anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, that's the entertainment value, like Travis said, of him walking around with the briefcase, I think would be so good. Dom, maybe to a lesser extent, I think would be really entertaining and really funny, but I think LA Knight having that briefcase would be gold on a weekly basis. So, hey, guys, listen, enjoy the show tomorrow. Talk soon. Travis, great to speak with you, man. Thanks, Wade.
You bet. Thanks, Topper. I appreciate it. Okay, so let me see. Sean from Tennessee emailed a follow-up question, so I just wanted to throw this in because it's about LA Knight. So what do you guys think of the LA Knight versus Montez in the qualifying match next week? Who wins in your mind? That should be a very fun match. I do also think the Street Profits turning heel is a great idea. Appreciate you guys again. Looking forward to hear all the audio this week. Travis.
There's a match you could plant the seeds for both turns or both eventual, changes in alignment.
Yeah, it could be a pivotal match for them. Okay, so just your thoughts on Sheamus tonight and the way that was framed. And we talked about NXT call-ups. We didn't pay enough attention. I think it's Pretty Deadly being put into this mix. It looks like we'll have Pretty Deadly against Butch and Holland, and then there'll be maybe Theory and Pretty Deadly against Sheamus and Ridge and Holland. What do you think of that as a early pairing or early situation for them?
That's fine. That's it matches their not matches but it's opposite of their aesthetic, with their whole European pretty boy thing. And then you got these European tough guy brawler, bar fight kind of folks. So it makes sense to get them in there with somebody who's opposite or diametrically kind of different than they are. And I think they'll be fine. They'll do some perfectly adequate things, Butch and Holland and the Pretty Deadly guys.
Do you what do you think, Pretty Deadly?
They're fine from what I've seen. I like their act. Yeah.
I hope they understand what they have with them, because I think there's more there than just kind of silly comedy act that you just end up thinking, well, they're there to just job out and be laughed at. I think there's more to be had from this that act if they do it right.
It's not 2005 anymore, but I hope they don't get treated like the heartthrobs who were over in Deep South or whatever the developmental was at that time as the Heartbreakers. They didn't want to bring him up with that name because HBK was still, still in the main events as Heartbreak Kid, obviously. So they turned him into the Heartthrobs and then turned him into a comedy jobber team. And they had so much, at least from what the stuff they did in NXT or in Deep South or FCW or whatever it was. It's 05, so I guess it was, I don't know what it was back then. Right. But whatever. I hope they don't let their gimmick and their super halter top outfits taint their, what they can do. And it's odd saying it. It's like, well, they're the company that employs them. They know what they can do, but it's just better than us fans who see them, just on TV. They see them put in the work and travel and all that stuff. But like you, I do hope they see that they're more than that. They can be more than just, comedy fodder in 4 months.
Well, they'll have a chance to show that against some quality opponents. Obviously Butch is going to be a good opponent for them. Ridge Holland is a different style. If Sheamus is in there, they can bump like crazy. And I think they can end up being appreciated in that way. What do you think about where Karrion Kross is right now, Travis? Is this the right role for him? Just sort of a...
picking fights and losing? Sure.
Yeah. That's it. Yep. I mean, does it run out of steam so quickly it's sort of absurd? Or
I have never had Karrion Kross. And then he started feuding with Rey Mysterio and cutting relatively good promos. His stuff against Rey was good. And now I'm back to not caring a bit about the guy. And I don't know if the focus... Yeah. Him, I have a sneaking suspicion it's the focus. I mean, we had him feuding with Ray for however many weeks he feuded with Ray. He got to talk about Ray for weeks, and then they built up to a match that actually happened too quick, and it was because they had other stuff to do with Ray, just like they had other stuff to do with Shinsuke, just like they've got other stuff to do with AJ. He just can't seem to get into a feud that's extended and by extension, you know, will mean more when they have their, you know, matches. I don't know what you do with the guy. I don't think Scarlett is a help anymore. Mm-hmm. I think the crowd looks at her like, oh yeah, obviously she's a very hot woman, but what is she doing? She's out there gesticulating, like mouthing the song. What is she? What? It's almost like what I would say about Ember Moon. What is her gimmick? Is she? She's like a cosplay werewolf. You know, like what is? She's like a potion making witch. Tarot yes, card. You know, yep. Like where'd that come from? And why? But it's never been explained. They never even tried. In a promo to kind of show, hey, we came back from Romania and we learned some, you know, Romany ways, some ancient, I don't want to call them gypsies, that's a slur, but, you know, I want people to know what I'm talking about. You know, nothing. They didn't, she's just there and he's just there and he's fine, but he's not going to draw you anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. He was fool's gold a bit, you know, in terms of he looked like he was going to be a big star, and you know, I said many times there, you know, wrestlers who told me when he gets to WWE he's going to have to bump. He didn't bump for a long time, could have been due to injury or he's told not to, but it wasn't his thing. And on the main roster, you've got to be able to bump.
It wasn't his thing.
Yeah.
You know, almost Omos or Big Show or something. What do you mean it's not your thing, Mr. 6'2", 250? You ain't nobody's giant. Like, give me a break.
I know.
I didn't know that about him because I didn't follow his early career. I do remember when I found out about him when he was Killer Cross and he showed up. Not showed up. He's from Vegas, I think. And so is Moxley. But it's coming up on my memories of the Double or Nothing from 4 years ago when I was in Vegas and Moxley debuted. And Killer Cross cut this and filmed this like thing on his own, and he called out, I think, Moxley, and was just kind of trying to get himself noticed, and he did. And I was like, wow, I like this guy, and I haven't liked him since, except for the few weeks he was feuding with
That's my fool's gold analogy. Like, you know, you think there's something there, and then it just doesn't take long to realize there's not a lot there. And every promoter kind of figures that out, you know, without having done their due diligence, that is what is the case. And, I mean, I don't think they should cut him. I mean, and get serviceable. But giving that level of gimmick and ring entrance to someone who's going to lose all the time is, you know, you have to manage that so it doesn't, you know, end up being kind of ridiculous.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. I don't know if I've got anything else.
Yeah, no on site because of the taping.
Yeah,
so we didn't.
Yep.
You know, we didn't have like a 20-30 minute segment with that caller.
Yeah.
So yeah, it actually we're wrapping things up relatively decent time here.
Yeah.
Any, last couple times.
Any
gab and gab. That
people have a ton of time between now and the show, but any thoughts or predictions on the. On the PLE tomorrow. Any final thoughts as we wrap up here?
Don't do that, Wade. I think it'll be a perfectly okay show with the chance of some real bangers. I mean, Seth and AJ can go off. I mean, that no one will be surprised if we're talking Saturday night about a match of the year contender.
Right,
but it could also be just kind of run-of-the-mill match as well. But I guess that's every match or a decent amount of matches. I don't think I am not like who's looking forward to Rhea and Natty? Like the Natty was so you know concerned about her friend a couple of weeks ago
getting jumped or whatever was happening, who she came out to save someone that Rhea was beating up. Just this slow stroll to the ring, shaking her head. Like, get in the ring. She's about to get her arm broken or whatever the hold was. This is a half and half kind of a card. I think half the matches are like, eh, and the other half are ones that I'd actually really want to see. Like, I want to see Cody and Brock. I'm more because I want to see how they book the match. More than
I know.
The match itself. I just want to see how they book it. I thought the whole arm thing was kind of – not the arm thing was silly. I thought Cody was silly and a bit of a dumbass. The second go-round, he got jumped backstage, and that just happens. Brock's a coward, like Cody's been saying, and has to sneak attack the guy who he's, you know, bigger than and tougher than and all these things he says. But then he sneaks him and beats him up and breaks his arm. But – for Cody not to come out with an equalizer in his arm sling just made me look at him like he's the biggest dummy in the world. Like, you're an idiot. There was nothing valiant about what Cody did on Monday. Absolutely not a thing. He was a
But that's what they idiot. Wanted you to that's the story they wanted to tell.
What, that he's an idiot? Why are you
that to be
thought of as a moron?
Well, that's the challenge with Cody is you know, he's always on the brink of seeming not self-aware. And so that's the challenge with him. And, yeah, I mean, enough people have said that.
If he'd have just had a lead pipe or some kind of, like, extendo stick in his thing, I'm not saying he had to, like, wear out Lesnar with it, but get in a couple gut shots with it, and then he's got a broken arm. Lesnar's going to get the upper hand, slap the thing on. But at least he came out there. He just came out there to get put in the hold, and his arm hurt even more. It was pointless and stupid. It made me think less of him as a character. But I still want to see the match again. I want to see how they get around it and get out of it. And a couple other matches, like, I think will be, you know, but then the other half is just like, yeah, I don't want to see that. I don't care about that.
Yep.
Like, obviously, Roman and Solo. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we'll wrap up there. Thanks. Travis, always fun talking with you at a fun show to talk about here. I wasn't sure what to expect from the tape show. You know, we got some video packages and stuff, but they didn't phone it in. You know, the crowd noise was annoying, but other than that, it was good. And I'm not anti video package the day before, or, you know, on the final show before an event, especially with a split roster and you're trying to, you know, let people know about what happened Monday and with some of the other matches. So yeah, good episode. So, Travis, tell people about your show and how they can hear more from you.
Yeah, if you go VIP, you'll be able to hear Rich and I on most Wednesday nights, so Thursday morning for you subscribers. You'll hear us talk about all kinds of wrestling subjects, pop culture, comic books, books, video games. We just have a conversation, just a couple pals talking about stuff, and wrestling gets brought up more times than not. So yeah, if you go VIP, you get access to that show and 14 years of archives of that show. So if you want to know what me and Cam or me and Dre or me and Josh thought about, what do they think about the Carlito angle from 2009? Hey, there's probably us talking about it, you know, whatever. Go VIP and listen to us. You can also follow me on Twitter, and I'll scoff when you do, @TravLord.
So basically, follow Travis on Twitter to spite him.
Yes, please. Just to make me go, God damn it, I want to delete this account. Yeah.
All right, awesome. Thanks again. We'll talk to all our VIP members over the weekend. Everybody else, have a great weekend.